And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk, well, we're really going to kind of do a follow-up show to a show we did earlier on the CIA as the Catholic Intelligence Agency. The Catholic Intelligence Agency. Today, we're calling this show U.S. Intelligence and the Vatican. Maybe we could call it U.S. Intelligence and Vatican Spies. But we're going to get to that here in a minute. The story of a Vatican spy, or what was seen as really an OSS spy working in the Vatican and feeding all sorts of information to our intelligence network, the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services during World War II. And there's all sorts of controversy. This is a new piece of information that I've stumbled across. Anyway, we'll talk about that. Why do I think that is important? Because you have the ongoing conflict with the deep state. I mean, look at some of these headlines here. You have here at Breitbart talking about what is going on with the Trump administration. And you have one of the headlines at Breitbart, Clinton campaign colluded with nearly every top official at the DOJ and the FBI. All right, so you got the Clinton campaign meeting with the Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Here's another headline from InfoWars. Trump said, apparently, he said the FBI and the DOJ had a program to prevent my presidency. And so much of the evidence that's coming out is leaning in that direction. We talked about Agent Strzok with the FBI before, how he was sending messages talking about how they were going to stop Trump from getting elected, and on and on and on, that there was a deep state attempt to prevent the election of Donald Trump as president of the United States and to get Hillary into the White House. All of that seems to make a lot of sense. How it turned about, the only thing I can think is that because so many people blew the whistle on election rigging before the election happened, and especially Trump while he was a candidate, you know, as candidate Trump before the election, he was coming out and telling the media his concerns that the election would be rigged in favor of Hillary. And of course, President Obama scoffed at that. Hillary scoffed at that. Everybody was so indignant that Trump would even mention the idea that the election could be compromised or rigged, and on. And I mean, they were just, how dare he even say such a thing? And so, but what I think happened was it created an environment of greater carefulness. They had to be careful, whatever was going on, because there's a lot of evidence that the Democrats were trying to steal the election. But whatever it was that they were planning to do, or whatever it was that they did, and I'm not sure that we can fully know, whatever it was, they had to be a lot more careful about it, because there were people with iPhones all over the country monitoring the election as it was happening and reporting anything that looked or seemed suspicious. And Trump won, as we know. He won. And then we've had all this craziness from then to now. But globalism, there's no question that everything that Trump represents and his administration and the whole Make America Great Again And let's put a stop to illegal immigration and the flooding of our country. And really, not Trump is not just speaking against flooding our country with Muslims. He's speaking against this practice over in Western Europe. He thinks that the governments of Western Europe are making a huge mistake and that all of this needs to be turned about. And of course, they've got an ongoing struggle over there over Brexit and whether or not Brexit is going to go through. There are reports about many of the Brexiteer politicians jumping ship and changing their position and this kind of thing, that this is going to turn out to be a big betrayal. Who knows where all of that's going to end up? But there's no question that the globalists are fighting tooth and nail to try and keep whatever power they've gained up to now. And they're using their racism and bigotry campaign and all this other kind of stuff against anybody who opposes them. Which is pretty standard. I mean, at this point, once you have heard one leftist argument, you have heard virtually all of them. That the problem with any opposition is that everybody is a racist and a bigot, and that's the real problem. That's what this is about. All right, now let's go to the story here. Because the Vatican plays prominently, you know, on the world stage, and which is not a surprise, should not be a surprise to us at all. We read in the book of Jeremiah, God telling his people to flee out of the midst of Babylon, the destruction, the great destruction and the fall of Babylon. And part of it seems to apply to ancient Babylon, but there also seems to be a future destruction that has not been fulfilled historically. And of course, the reformers, our reformed forefathers, believe generally that the fulfillment, the complete fulfillment of the destruction of Babylon the Great happens in Revelation 17 and 18, chapter 18 in particular, which is where we read about Babylon the Great falling in Revelation 18, where it says in verse 9, it says, "And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more." And then it goes on to talk about the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and of fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men." And souls of men. That last reference there. The last item on the list of merchandise, because that's how it begins. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, etc. And so the merchandise of the souls of men. Think about Rome. Think about the selling of indulgences for the forgiveness of sins. Think about the selling, I mean, the mass cards that they sell in Rome to this day. The mass cards that you pay so that they'll say a special mass to get somebody's soul out of purgatory. Merchandising the souls of men. It continues right up to this very day with Rome. It's just incredible. The scripture and the fulfillment of scripture that we see in the witness of history. But as Dr. H. Grattan Guinness wrote back in the 19th century, there is a reason why we are warned in the scripture about this city that sits upon seven hills. The woman is that great city that sits upon seven hills and reigneth over the kings of the earth. There is a reason why we're warned about it. And I mean, we of course, there are so many different evils that are going on in the world, so many different forms of corruption that are happening. But there's a reason why God inspired John to set down this particular warning about Mystery Babylon, this mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And of course, I think we see the reason why throughout the pages of church history, right up into modern times. Now, let's talk about what's going on with the American intelligence community. My impression of American history, even though our history is not perfect, certainly, there in terms of the Bible-based Christian focus of America, if you study our history going back to the colonies, with the development of the English Protestant colonies, there's no question that Protestantism was the overwhelming majority of the belief, variant forms of Protestantism in the early American colonies. In fact, we're documenting this for our new film on the true Christian history of America, where we talk about the different state constitutions and the requirement from one state after another that you had to be a member, a believer in the Protestant religion over and over and over again. It would say Protestant, Protestant, Protestant. Sam Adams signs a declaration. He calls it political Protestantism, and so on. And there's a reason why, because Protestantism, historic Protestantism, is intended to be Bible-based Christianity, plainly put. So you have a Protestant history. We carry the book by Dr. Ronald Cook on the de-Protestantizing of America. This is one way to look at our history. And that there's an overwhelming number of Catholic judges sitting on the Supreme Court. Now, we've talked about this before. You can people write articles on this. That you've got and even Gorsuch, even though Gorsuch is not technically Catholic, he was still trained by Jesuits at a Jesuit prep school. So there is an incredible presence of Rome that has grown in our political system and in the intelligence community since the end of World War II. So we have a Bible-based, very strong Bible-based Christian history all the way up through World War II. After the Second World War, things begin to change. By the time you get to Korea, our country loses its focus, I believe, with the Korean War. But then from there, we get into the Vietnam War, and the situation is completely confusing. We don't know why we're in Vietnam. Well, we kind of do, supposedly to oppose communism. We're there fighting. We've got guys in the jungle. But nobody has a plan to actually win, to actually bring this conflict to a conclusion and win anything. And so much of what's happening has to do with powers at work behind the scenes manipulating in ways that our country hadn't been manipulated before that. And I believe the reason for it is because the deep state, the CIA, the intelligence community had been subverted by Rome through the Second World War, from the time of the OSS and Wild Bill Donovan. All right, we are going to go to a commercial break, and we'll talk more when we come back right after this.
Assassins and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds reveals the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family, because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now, Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal, and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today in the show, we're talking about American intelligence and the Vatican. I stumbled upon an article published by the Washington Post back in 1980. So this is an article from 1980. And the headline reads, U.S. blessed with OSS spy in Vatican. United States, that is, blessed with an OSS spy in the Vatican. This is from August 3rd, 1980. Then it goes on to talk about this spy, Virgilio Scatolini, who went to work for the Vatican in mid-1944 and also went to work for the Office of Strategic Services, the OSS. It says, Scatolini also went to work for the Office of Strategic Services, wartime precursor of the Central Intelligence Agency. Overnight, Scatolini became a prize agent of the OSS. His reports were so prolific and valuable that the OSS kept one man in Italy doing nothing but translating and cabling them to Washington. 1944. So this is during the Second World War. And there's all of this information from this agent who's working at the Vatican and working for the OSS. Now, the incredible thing is, you read this article, come to find out the information that's being fed by this guy to Washington, D.C., turns out to be bogus. That's the incredible thing. Turns out to be bogus. And the way that they unfold the story from there is very interesting, because I personally think that the reason it was bogus is because the guy was really working for the Vatican. But that's not really what's communicated in this article by the Washington Post. The Washington Post gives you the impression that the guy was just working for himself. He was just a self-promoter who happened to get in with the Vatican, happened to get in with the OSS, and then turned out to be a fraud. And all of this was uncovered by guess who? Well, a Jesuit historian figured this whole thing out. A Jesuit historian named Robert A. Graham. The whole thing is very, very suspicious. But here's what I want to share with you. This is from an article published on a website called churchandstate.org in the UK. churchandstate.org.uk. And the headline of the article is "The CIA and the Vatican's Intelligence Apparatus." Now, this is an article that goes back to 1983, was originally published in the political commentary Mother Jones. Now, we all know, anybody who knows Mother Jones knows that is a liberal, progressive publication. But it is back in 1983, before they went off the rails. But here's what they say in this article about the CIA and the Vatican's intelligence apparatus. Just so we understand, other sources, including the History Channel and President George H.W. Bush, have said that the Vatican's intelligence network is faster and more reliable than our own CIA. That's a comment made during the Reagan administration by George H.W. Bush when the Pope was working with Reagan, etc. Okay, that's one of the comments. And I've seen in other documentaries when they talk about the intelligence network that they talk about how the Vatican has the most vast, the most extensive intelligence network really in the world. And if you study the history of it, it goes back to the time of the Reformation and the Counter-Reformation, probably even earlier than that. But once the Jesuits come along and they're this military order and they adopt spying and they adopt infiltrating other churches, basically sending in Jesuits as secret agents, sending them in as Calvinists, sending them in as Baptists, sending them in as Lutherans, etc., adopting all professions of faith and reportedly every area of society. And this is not just some strange conspiracy theory. This was documented by people like J.A. Wiley, the historian in the 19th century, and even talked about by men like John Adams, President John Adams. There's a quote from him about how once the Jesuits were reformed in the 19th century, he says, "We're going to have them here in as many disguises as only a king of the gypsies can assume." Quote from President John Adams. But how did Rome gain control of our intelligence apparatus? Well, let me read you the introduction to this article here on the Vatican and the CIA. Listen to this. Okay, quote, "One day in July 1944, as the Second World War raged throughout Europe, General William Wild Bill Donovan was ushered into an ornate chamber in Vatican City for an audience with Pope Pius XII. Pope Pius XII was also called Hitler's Pope. Okay, side note. The article goes on. Donovan bowed his head reverently as the pontiff intoned a ceremonial prayer in Latin and decorated him with the Grand Cross of the Order of St. Sylvester, the oldest and most prestigious of papal knighthoods. This award has been given to only 100 other men in history who, by feat of arms or writings or outstanding deeds, have spread the faith and have safeguarded and championed the church," meaning obviously the Catholic Church. Okay, now goes on. It says, "Although a papal citation of this sort rarely, if ever, states why a person is inducted into the Golden Militia, there can be no doubt that Donovan earned his knighthood by virtue of the services he rendered to the Catholic hierarchy in World War II, during which he served as the chief of the Office of Strategic Services, OSS, the wartime predecessor to the Central Intelligence Agency, CIA. In 1941, the year before the OSS was officially constituted, Donovan forged a close alliance with Father Felix Morleon, founder of a European Catholic intelligence service known as Pro Deo. All right, so then the article goes on to talk about how Pro Deo, that Father Morleon was, the Germans overran Western Europe. Then it says that Donovan helped Morleon move his base of operations from Lisbon to New York. And then from then on, it says Pro Deo was financed by Donovan. In other words, financed by the OSS, by us, America, who believed that such an expenditure would result in valuable insight into the secret affairs of the Vatican, then a neutral enclave in the midst of fascist Rome. Calling the Vatican a neutral enclave, that is a rather strange comment from Mother Jones. It makes me question the intent of Mother Jones and how they're writing this article. Why? Because the Vatican, first of all, was propped up by Mussolini. It was Mussolini who reinstated the papacy. The papacy had come to an end back in the 19th century. It was null and void. Then it was disempowered. Now it's reinstated by Mussolini in 1929. And then he gives it all kinds of money. He gives all kinds of money to Vatican City. That's the reason Vatican City exists as its own nation state today. Then Pacelli, Pope Pius XII, he was the guy who directed the Catholic Center Party to give Hitler his totalitarian power in Germany in exchange for Hitler signing a concordat, a political agreement, with Rome, with the Vatican. So here the Vatican has two very strong alliances with both Hitler in Germany and Mussolini in Italy. How the Vatican could be seen as neutral in the midst of all that, I have no idea. That's a very strange comment from Mother Jones. But the article does go on to say, further down, it says, quote, Pope Pius's decoration of Wild Bill Donovan marked the beginning of a long-standing, intimate relationship between the Vatican and U.S. intelligence that continues to the present day. Okay? They said this again. They're writing this back in 1983. But nothing has significantly changed from 1983 to the present day, just in terms of the relationship with the Vatican. So it stands to reason that that relationship continues even now. All right, brethren, we are out of time. We're going to have to wrap it up there. That's going to do it for us today. That is our show. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.